It is a joy to be here this morning. I sort of have mixed emotions. It's like seeing my mother-in-law in my new Cadillac fixing to go off of a cliff. I sure would hate to lose that Cadillac. Only a pastor would know what I'm fixing to say. I love preaching, but I'd rather preach at the church God's put me over than anywhere in the country. But if I had a second choice, this would be it today here. And I am thankful for your pastor. We're not trading compliments. I'm just telling you the truth, and this is a fact. I appreciate your pastor. And I'm known now, I guess, as the old man of God. That doesn't bother me. It humbles me. When these young pastors call me and ask me for advice, I tremble. If I make a mistake at my church, nobody answers for it but me, and I can go on, and most of the people won't ever know about it, except the ones under me. But if I give another man of God advice and he does it and it's the wrong advice, the whole country's no one know about it. But I'm thankful this morning for God putting this man of God in my life. And I'll never forget it. The first time I met him, we were in a meeting, and it was a little dry that morning, and I was sort of fidgety. I like to be where the glory is at. And I like for something to be going on. As a matter of fact, if it ain't going on, I'll start it. And I was sitting there, and Brother Ken looked at me and leaned over, and he said, "Dear God, we need some glory in this place." And I knew then, I said, "Okay, praise God, he's going to be all right." Yeah, so that's been many years ago, but I'm thankful this morning for the opportunity to come. And you have a wonderful church, and let me just encourage you to get behind this man of God and hold his hands up. And God's given him orders, you just follow him. And I'm just thrilled in my soul for what God's doing. When I pull up on the parking lot yesterday and see where the construction's beginning and how things are going, and I said, "My God, it's wonderful in this day that we're living in to know that God's still moving, God's still blessing, and God still has men that have sense enough to follow Him and will step out and go." You can rest assured the devil will fight you every foot of the way, but greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I want to preach to you this morning for a few moments, if that be possible. For a few moments this morning, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. And I'd like to read these verses. But before I read these verses, I'm going to preach to you something that's very familiar. But I was reminded very early this morning of what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, where he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." I believe that we can apply that to the truths of all of God's Word, and we need to be reminded every once in a while of the truths that are just simple, they're there. But we need to be reminded that God has given us a truth to stand on, and His truth will set you free. The truth will never change. It's absolute. It stands there. And the precious Word of God, I love this morning to say to you that it will never change. It will always be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isaiah chapter 12 in verse 1, it says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comforteth me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Our Father, we would ask You this morning to anoint us afresh and anew. We'd ask You this morning to give us clarity of thought. Help us, Lord, to put forth the Word of God in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. And may You enlighten Your people here today. I pray that You would put this truth in Thy heart. Remind us, dear Lord, of where You brought us from, but remind us of where we're headed and who we represent. If it be one in our midst today that's lost and undone, that does not know You as personal Savior, we would ask You to convict that heart. Open those eyes and draw them unto Yourselves, and may they draw from the wells of salvation. And we will thank You and praise You in advance for what You do. We are reminded afresh and anew this morning, we are nothing. You are everything. As John says, You must increase, but I must decrease. I pray now that You will have Your way here in this place today. Give us enough sense to follow You. And we'll praise You and thank You in Jesus' bloodstained name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at the book of Isaiah, it's a tremendous book in and of itself. And what some tremendous truths it is for God's children even in the day that we are living. In this particular chapter, it is not only the shortest chapter in Isaiah, but one of the sweetest chapters in Isaiah. Prophetically, it describes the worship of the millennial host. And of course, all those forming the kingdom are to be a singing people. Whether you realize it or not, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you have a song in your heart. We have something to sing about. We have something to shout about. The chapter appears to be, to me, in two halves. You don't have to hold me to that if you get three or six out of it. It makes no difference with me. But to me, it seems like it's two parts in this chapter. The first three verses, as we look at it, that has personal pronouns, and I like that. For you have the word I and my, and it shows any saint can lay hold of the Lord as the prophet declares. Aren't you glad this morning that it's a whosoever? Thank God I'm glad that we can call upon Him, and God can, when God does that work in our heart with a repentant heart, we can call upon the great God of heaven, and we can have a song put in our heart that we can shout about from now throughout eternity. Isaiah begins to lay some groundwork here, and I can say with Isaiah, I can make the Lord my salvation. Now, thank God He is my strength. It is my salvation, my song, my strength. Not because I've done it and I've worked for it, but He put it into me and gave it to me as a gift. And so as we see that refreshing water that we can draw from this morning, what joy is produced? I want to ask you a question before I go any further. How many children of God, and I mean genuine children of God, do you see today that are happy? How many children of God today do you see that have genuine joy that's flooding thy soul, and when you meet them, instead of complaining about what they're in and where they're doing, how many of them rejoice about the wells of salvation and where God has delivered them from and what God has done for them? I was reminding my church not long ago that I like the glory services, and someone says, we can't have that all the time. My question was, why? I've had preachers to say, you can't expect that all the time. My question is the same to them. Why? You may say, well, we can't do that all the time. The question I ask you is why? Why can't we meet God and God and rejoice in the things of God and where God's brought us from and what God's done? I know that there's valleys that we go through. I know that there's trials that we're up against. I know that there's times that we wish to God we'd never been born. But I want to tell you, we should never lose our joy. We should never lose that peace. We should never lose that well of salvation that springs up on the inside of us, that God has delivered us time and time again. And He will see to it that we will never, no, never have to worry about losing what He's given us. And so we have here this morning a note that God gives us to draw from the refreshing waters that joy produces. The last half of this chapter is more gentle. And when you look into general call here, although applying to the same period, you notice the repetition. In verse 1, it says, in that day. It lets us know that day has not gotten here yet, as far as the interpretation is concerned. In verse 4, it says, in that day. It shows us again that that day has not gotten here yet as far as the interpretation is concerned. But I remind you very quickly by way of remembrance, Scripture has one interpretation, many applications. The application here is for the child of God that we have a joy. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We don't have to wait till another thing. We don't have to wait till a certain circumstance to have the joy of the Lord springing in our soul and coming up out of the wells of salvation. These are fearful days, and many are afraid. This chapter talks about and offers men in the world, in a world of men, a cure for despair. Thank God when you meditate upon these words, it tells us to trust and be not afraid. You cannot trust God and be afraid at the same time. And so he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm thankful this morning that I can trust him as the God of my salvation and the well that God has put in me, and it'll never go dry. And so if I'm trusting him with all my heart, then glory be unto God, there will not be room for fear to slip in and to rob me of my joy. And by the way, fear is a joy robber. I'm not saying you're lost if you fear. God knows I've had plenty of days such as that. I'm trying to practice what I preach, but I want you to know I've got a God this morning that rings my bell. I've got a God this morning that thrills my soul and puts something in me that I cannot conjure up myself. It is only Him. I was down in the room early this morning, and I said, Oh God, I'm nervous. Lord, I want you to know after 40 years, I still have that nervous sensation. You know what I said, Brother Ken? I said, please don't ever let me get over that. I sat there in that pew and I was just nervous as I could be. You said, are you afraid of people? Lord God, no. I'll whip any one of you in here in 2 minutes. It don't make no difference. But I'm saying, I'm not afraid of you, but I'm afraid that I'll miss God. I'm afraid that I'll get glory instead of God getting glory. And I'm afraid that God will not get everything that's due to Him. Never want to lose that. Never want to lose that. The one expels the other. The Holy Ghost, the Holy One, in our midst. Thank God He's in the midst of your soul. He's in the midst of the sanctuary. He's in the midst of your trials. He's in the midst of everything you go through. He will never leave nor forsake you. It's a forever thing. And so Isaiah begins to pin down these words for the nation of Israel. But thank God for the comforting words we can draw from it as God's children and apply it to our heart and in our soul as we look through these verses. He will be our strength. And as we appropriate Him as our strength, we come to know Him as our song. I'm so thankful this morning that your pastor realizes that there's got some that God's called to sing and some God's called to preach. I tried to sing one time in my message, and the Holy Ghost just said, shut up and preach. I'd love to sing. I'd love to have a song in my soul for the congregation. But I'm going to tell you, I've got a song that I sing to Him, and He never tells me to shut up. He never tells me to be quiet. Thank God, as a matter of fact, He'll sing back to me every once in a while as songs in the night. I bless His name and praise Him this morning for the joy that God has put in my heart and in my soul. Now, I'm talking to saved people this morning. I'll talk to the lost in just a minute. But I want you to know this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got a joy that's unspeakable. You've got a well, thank God, that bubbles up. You've got something this morning that the devil can't take away from you. If I had a title for this message, I'd call it, Salvation Will Take You All the Way. I'm glad God didn't put us on to let us off halfway down the line. I'm glad God didn't put me in and says, now do your best to hang on and hold out. I'm thankful, hallelujah, that the day that God saved me, God birthed me into His family. He said it's a two-way trip. You're going, but you're coming back. And glory to God, it's nothing you can do about it. I bless His holy name this morning for where He's brought us from, what He's going to do. Salvation is a word that is very precious to the child of God. Don't ever get tired of using that word. Don't you ever get to the place you think you've outgrown that word. Don't you ever get to the place that you've got to get so deep in Scripture that you forget where God brought you from and what God's doing for you. It's a word that's very precious. We all that are saved know what it means. It involves a change of lords. It involves a change of loves. It involves a change of loyalties. And thank God that's coming today, Brother Mike. It's going to involve a change of lands. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. We're going to step out of here and be with Him forevermore. Salvation, praise be unto God, is something that God gives to His children. And we can be blessed and assured He will never take it away from us. These verses in Isaiah chapter 12 describe to us what God does for us. They describe to us what God does in us, what God does through us, and what God does to us in a personal way. You do realize this morning, I'm reminding you, that salvation is a personal thing. You do realize that preacher's kids are not going into heaven on the preacher's coattail. You do realize this morning if you are saved, you are saved because it's a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ. And you do realize this morning that it's what God does to you and for you. It's not what you do for God and to God. And so as we see this, these verses of Scripture, what a blessing it is. You count them up. I thought I'd count them back 10 times because I know people rebuke me if I'm wrong. But you count them up and you'll see that 15 times the Lord is mentioned in these 6 verses in one form or another. Now listen to what I said. I said one form or another. I didn't say the word Lord itself. But 15 times it's mentioned here. 15 is the number of rest in Scripture. Praise be unto God. We need to cease from our own labors and rest in the finished work of Calvary and rest in the finished word of our God and look to Him and praise Him for where He's brought us from. I'm saying to you this morning, I'm glad that there's a joy that's unspeakable. I'm glad that there's a salvation that God's given us. And salvation will take me all the way to where I need to go. These verses show us that we ought to praise Him. These verses show us the peace of God, the power of God, the protection of God, the preeminence of God, and the priority of God. As we look at these verses, we see the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. You're listening to a preacher this morning. I don't back up from it. I'll say it till I go to my grave. Bless God, salvation is of the Lord. I'm telling you, we got a church full of people that's been pulled green. We got a church full of people that we've tried to talk into being saved and left the Holy Ghost's job out of it and tried to give them a sob story when God's never even dealt with them. I'm going to tell you, I believe it's a whosoever. I believe that. I believe it's a wheresoever. I believe that. I believe with all my heart. But praise be unto God. I believe that whatsoever you've got, you have not sinned the sin that God can't save you if you'll come to Him. Yes, sir. It's whosoever. It is wheresoever. You don't have to be sitting on a pew. You don't have to be in the back seat of an automobile. You don't have to be on the street side. Oh no! But praise be unto God. And I want to tell you, I believe in it whatsoever. No matter what you've been up against, no matter how sorry you are, no matter what sin you've committed, there's nothing that the blessed Holy Ghost can convict you of and bring you to the saving knowledge of God Almighty. He's never lost a case and He never will. He's never turned one away that comes on His condition. Now don't hang me out to dry. Get your facts together before you smear my name all over this country. It's not whensoever. No man cometh to the Father except the blessed Spirit of God draw him. Bless God if God's doing that work. God's opening those eyes. God's drawing you down. And any time that you see yourself for what you are and you get lost in glory, God to God, God will not turn you away. God will call you in. I preach sometimes to pray for people, try to get them revived, my brother. And under God, I believe I got the wrong message. I don't believe they need revival. I believe they need to be resurrected. I've got some they can shout over a 3-year-old spelling cat. But they can't say a word over the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing them from the sin. I'm going to tell you something wrong in our churches. It's something wrong in our day when we get away from this book and we try everything under God's heaven but what God has said to get people saved. I'm telling you, if you preach the Word of God, it's powerful enough. it'll get the job done. Holy Ghost will do His job. I'm not trying to talk you into heaven this morning. Bless God, it's God will have to do that work and draw you in. But I tell you one thing, if you see yourself lost and you need Him, He will not turn you away. What language is involved? I will praise Thee. How often do you praise Him? You don't have to come Sunday morning to Liberty Baptist Church just to praise God. I praise Him going down the road. I praise Him on my John Deere zero turn lawnmower. Hallelujah. I praise Him everywhere I go. I don't have to be in church to praise Him. Somebody asked me the other day, said, do you ever get down? I said, ain't none of your business. We got something to praise Him for. We can praise Him. Just stay with me now. We'll get the message in a minute. I got to see what I'm doing. I will praise Thee. I will trust Thee. Why? Because He's my salvation. He's my strength. He's my song. He's my shout. He's my singing. He's my surety. He's the wall of my protection. He's the well of my power. And He's the way of my peace. Verses 1 through 3, we see what God does for us. Our helplessness. Do you realize this morning you are totally helpless in yourself? Do you realize this morning you are totally hopeless in and of yourself? You need another way. You need someone else to intervene for you. You need someone else to pick you up. Somebody says God helps those who help themselves. That's never been a bigger lives ever hatched in hell than that. God helps those who can't help themselves. Thanks God, I'm glad this morning that God does help me. And God does stop over at my place. And God does do for me what I can't do for myself. I don't know why I just thought about this. You know what my doctor, heart doctor told me 3 years ago? He said, you got to calm down. I said, I don't wear my collar backwards. He was of another persuasion. He goes to a church where they sit there and go, I like to come in the back door and people start shouting. Our helplessness. You know you can't call yourself. Or you can call yourself, but that's what you got, a self-called. He convicts us. You can sit there all day. I was reading behind some of the more Puritan writers. Boy, old Jonathan Edwards preaching that famous sermon, reading it. And sinners in the hand of an angry God. Oh God, somebody would say, He ain't anointed. Had to hold it up here where He can make your words out. And they said before that man finished, people all over that congregation was begging the Holy Ghost to convict them. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how it done over at your place, but the day that God showed me that I was lost, it didn't take long for me to call on Him. He converts us. He comforts us. In verse 4 through 6, we see that not only our helplessness in verse 1 through 3, but verse 4 through 6, we see what we can do for Him because His holiness is involved. We exalt Him and praise Him. Witness about Him. Sing to Him and cry out and shout it out. He's here in the midst. Salvation is a personal, powerful, peaceful thing. And I want to say this. It's plenty to go around. Salvation. Thank God. Isaiah 55:1 says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Verse 6 of that chapter says, Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Somebody says, I thought you believed in the sovereignty of God. I do. But equally, I believe on the responsibility of man. I believe that with all my heart. Now, I don't know who started this lie, but I'm going to tell you one thing. There's a whole lot of things you don't have because you ain't asked God for. You know the reason that woman sitting right there, second pew, most prettiest woman I've ever laid my eyes on. Oh, I love her. I adore her. She's my backbone. She's my best critic. What else do you tell me to say about you? No, she didn't tell me to say anything about it. I'm just saying that's the truth. But Brother Mike, you know the reason she married me? I asked her. Yeah, I'll leave that where it's at. 45 years later, the rest is history. Matthew 18 and verse 11 says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. Praise God, I'm glad there was a time when God showed me where I was and I cried out to God because I was lost and God saved me. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you been lost? Have you seen yourself lost and undone without God? Has there been a time in your life that you saw yourself unworthy, hopeless and helpless without God, my son? But glory to God, there's a day in your life when you said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm lost and undone and I'm going to hell. Save my soul. I didn't ask you if you joined Liberty Baptist Church. I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. I didn't ask you if you make professions after professions. Have you seen yourself lost? 1 Timothy 1:15 says this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptations, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm glad it came into this world to save sinners. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, hallelujah. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I had a lady, I don't think you got any here, but I had a lady in my church, not saying ladies, I mean it knows what this lady knows. But I had a lady in my church. I preached that one Sunday morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. She came up to me and she said, oh, preacher, I'm so glad you preached that. She said, I've claimed that verse since my babies were in the crib. And she said, God has assured me over that verse that He was going to save every one of my children. I looked at her right back and I said, no, ma'am, He hadn't. No, ma'am, you can't claim that verse for that. That verse ain't telling you that your children are automatically going to be saved. Believe on you and you're going to be saved. Let me, how many parents I got here today? How many parents I got here today that your children are not saved? Absolutely. You know what that verse says? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. What He's saying, your house is going to be saved the same way you are. They're going to be saved by you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be saved by you trusting in the finished work of Calvary. They're going to be saved, praise be unto God, because God Almighty is the author of salvation. A personal thing. She'll do that. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy. Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. What sad words. What sad words. Why aren't you saved? Well, I'm waiting for that light. It's already here. Well, I'm waiting for that lightning and that thunder. I've heard some of the most off-the-wall, ridiculous stories about people being saved in these 40 years I've ever heard in my life. The night God saved me, won't no thunder crashing, won't no lightning flashing. I saw myself lost and undone without God, and I just believed the naked truth of the Word of God that I was hell-bound and He was going to want to take me to heaven, and I trusted in Jesus Christ my Savior. And somebody says, well, I can take you to the place. Well, praise God, I can too. I can take you right. I could take you back where it used to be. But right now, there's a hottest kitchen standing over the place where that oak tree was when I got saved back yonder 40 years ago. That's the hottest down there with a grease pit over it. If I had to go back and touch that very spot I got saved, I'd have trouble. But thank God, I don't have to go back to South Boston, Virginia. Glory be unto God. He put something inside of me that day that sealed it, that signed it, and stirs my innermost being and lets me know that I belong to Him. Salvation is free. It cost heaven's best. It cost the darling Lamb, the Son of God. He sacrificed His all for you and for me, and praise be unto God. He requires you, all God requires you to do. Do you know what God requires you to do to be saved? Nothing! It's already been done! Just believe Him. Why, preacher? Listen very carefully. You can be saved because the demands has been met. There's nothing to do. Where do you see that at, preacher? John chapter 19 and verse 30. It is finished. Thank God, my brother, He didn't say, I am finished. But He says, it is finished. Everything from Genesis chapter 3 until Revelation chapter 22, thank God, was accomplished in that statement as far as salvation is concerned. God says salvation is of the Lord. He finished the work that God sent Him to do, and glory be unto God. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that any soul can do because it has been finished. The demand has been met. There's nothing to do. Secondly, the distance has been spanned. There's nothing to dread. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, it was a time when I was far off. Somebody thinks I'm off now, but I'm going to tell you right now, glory be unto God. There was a time when I was far off, but now I've been made nigh, what? By my works? No, 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 no. By my church membership? No, 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 no. By what I know? No, 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 no. Thank God by the blood of Jesus Christ, my precious Lord. Salvation is free. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation will take you all the way. Thank God. The demands have been met. There's nothing to do. The distance has been spanned. There's nothing to dread. Thirdly, the division has been healed. There's nothing to doubt. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. I'm glad this morning that we've got a letter from God. And I'm glad He tells us in verse 14 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, for He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Praise be unto God. I'm glad this morning to tell you the division has been healed. There's nothing to doubt. I doubt a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you I'll never doubt Him. I don't doubt where I'm going this morning because of the finished work of Calvary, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and because of what He's done for me. There's joy in my soul, and there's suffering that only God can do for me that I give Him glory for. The delight of being saved, there's nothing to desire. Oh, well, preacher, look at what Isaiah chapter 58 in verse 11 says. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and sanctify thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You know why a whole lot of people don't do no shouting? They don't have no water in the well. You know, a whole lot of people are dry. They ain't no water in them. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad this morning. Thank God that He's put an artesian well down in my soul. I'm thankful this morning that it starts to bubbling. Woo! It's a bubbling right now. It starts bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. You know what happens when a pot starts boiling? And boy, that stuff gets up to the top. If you don't turn the heat down, you know what's going to happen? It's going to boil over. That's what God give us some boiled over Christians. Thanks be unto God. I'm talking about fired up for the glory of God. Not mad and undone, but I'm talking about gloriously giving God praise and thanking Him for where He's brought you from and what He's done, with joy in your soul, peace in your heart. And then, you got something to shout about. I'm just reminding you. Demands have been met, there's nothing to do. The distance has been spanned, there's nothing to dread. The division's been healed, there's nothing to doubt. The delight of being saved, there's nothing to desire. The destiny of the saved is sure. There's nothing to disturb. Well, sure hope I make it. Well, with that attitude, I hope you do too. Ah, preacher, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. Well, keep on climbing, honey. Well, you know that Bible says tie a knot at the end of the rope and hang on. I ain't never found that. Dr. John McCormick, my teaching Bible college, I did go, with some of y'all realize it's not, I did. But the teacher many, many years ago, he was telling of an illustration when he was pastoring in West Virginia. Said he had two old sisters in that church, and they were shouting out, they were the hanky waving kind, you know. They had a time, he said, they shout all over that church. He said he had a young teenage girl that was one teenage, she just said got married in her early 20s. She said she come down the aisle that Sunday morning, he preached on salvation, she come down that aisle this morning, she said, oh, I'm lost. And I'm done. She said, oh God, what can I do? What can I do? Said them two old sisters, one got on one side and one got on the other. Had Sister Grace looked at and said, oh honey, hang on. Hang on with all you got. Hang on with all you got. Oh, Sister Susie over here on the other side said, oh honey, turn loose. Turn loose of everything you have. And the girl looked up at Dr. McCormick and said, what do I do? He said, both. Turn loose everything you hold on to and hang on to everything He's promised you. Hallelujah. Praise God, that's a good definition. Turn loose of everything you're holding on to and hold on to every promise He's given to you in your heart and in your soul that God's brought you safe this far. Praise God, He'll carry you safe the rest of the way. The preacher, my little baby's hips out of joint. They're gonna have to operate. Hang on to what you know. Turn loose of everything else. The doctor lied to walk in and say, we can't find nothing wrong. And on the other hand, not taking joy and not knocking you off the property. You should have the same joy in your heart now if they'd have said, we're going to have to operate and replace both hips. Shouldn't have disturbed the journey. Oh, disturbed yourself? Yes, sir. Oh, the facts? Yes, sir. I mean, concern out of design, praying. But it shouldn't disturb your journey. Why? Because when it's a hip replacement, a foot out of joint, a broken tooth, or a blinded eye, thank God I'm headed to heaven with the hammer down. I would say to God that He pretty well fixed it up. He'll take you all the way. He does not do anything halfway. He brought you out that He may bring you in. Now, here's my message. 45-minute introduction. I don't want the reputation of y'all not coming. And don't come back and I say, he preaches too long. I'm going to preach the shortest message you ever heard in this church. I didn't say nothing about the introduction. In this text, there's one word that's used three times. That word is salvation. Anytime God says something more than once, I mean, He don't have to say anything but one time and it's good enough. But when He repeats Himself several times, it'd be good for you to look and see what He's really talking about here. It's one of the most important words in the entire Bible. In fact, it's used 164 times in the 66 books of this authorized 1611 King James that we have. In the Old Testament, the word comes from a word, Hebrew word, which means deliverance and victory. Salvation is of the Lord. Deliverance and victory is of the Lord. In the New Testament, it comes from a word which means deliverance, preservation, and safety. Salvation is what we receive when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Salvation is what you have. Deliverance, preservation, and safety if you're saved. It's the gift of God. It is not a thing that we will receive someday. He's not referring to here in that day of you being saved. It's not that I gotta wait to see if I'm gonna get there. I know I'm going. This is in the present possession of every person that has received Jesus Christ in their heart. If you take the time to study the doctrine of salvation in the Bible, you will find that salvation is responsible for moving people from place to place and from one place to another. It always takes you somewhere. That's the reason I'm entitling this, Salvation Will Take You All the Way. Listen very carefully. Salvation brought Israel out of bondage. Deliverance. Exodus 14. It brought Jonah out of the whale. Jonah 2:9. Salvation brought David out of the pit. Psalms 40, 1-5. It brought Paul out of a lost condition. 1 Timothy 1, 12-15. It brings every sinner out of darkness. 1 Peter 2:9. And thank God it brought me to my senses. Hallelujah. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I don't like some words that's in some of the songs. So if I don't like the words, I change it to make it scriptural. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now because I'm going to make it to heaven anyhow. That's that. That's it. Oh yeah. I'm going anyhow. Now, where will it take you, preacher? Listen to me carefully. Salvation will take you to heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So where we're going? We're going to heaven. Now I love to come to this church. Thank God it's a blessing to come and see my friends. It's a blessing for people to come up and say, good to see you, Dr. E. Praise God. I love you, Pastor. I love the church. I love the people. I love being here. But in the morning, about 7 o'clock or 7:30, the Lord willing, or maybe 9:30 or 10, depending on how late Diane sleeps. But we're going to get up and we're going to get in that car and I'm going away from here. I won't see you again unless God intervenes until when it's October. Won't see you till October and it can't be. But there's coming a day, Brother David. Woo! There's coming a day when there'll be no sad goodbyes. There's coming a day when we'll never cry again. There's coming a day, thank God, when we'll not have to part. There's coming a day when we'll have continuously camp meeting jubilee days every day of the week. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're lost, you're going to hell. Salvation is the key that opens the door to the kingdom of God. That's the glories of that city. If you ever wondered why heaven's gates are made of pearl, everything in it points to Him. We talk about the pearly gates. Talk about the street of gold. Talk about the walls of jasper. It's got to be a beautiful place. God made it. Everything God done's good. That's when you looked at. That's when you looked over this creation thing, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and everything He done, everything He said, God said, and it was good. Then He said it's very good. Why did He say it was good? Ain't nothing else to say. When somebody looks at you and says, that's good, ain't nothing else to say. It's good. That says a lot. You can't spell good without God. Yeah. And you think you got anything to do with it? Take that little letter out of it that makes it God. It shows you what you are and what I am. You know what it is? Zero. All right, it'll take you into holiness. If you're really saved, you got a home waiting on you. If you're really saved, it'll take you into a life of holiness. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe we ought to live dedicated, separated, holy lives. But some of this junk, Brother Ken, unto God, some of this junk that I hear preachers preaching about, it's nowhere in the Bible. It ain't but pet peeves and stuff like that. If you got Bible for it, stand on. You stand behind your pastor. You live a separate life. You do that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Some of this stuff, they got high standards so high that the people can't live under them. They can't live under themselves. And therefore, one or two things are going to happen. They're going to be so burnt out by them doing instead of being when it's for Christ, that they're going to be so burnt out that they're not going to be able to continue on, or they're going to get so liberal and get totally out of it because they say, I can't do that anymore.
Amen. Good.
Holiness is you just being right.
Yes, sir.
Holiness is you doing right. Somebody had the audacity to ask me one time, said, have you cussed since you've been saved? Shoot, I cussed this morning. I wish I had a camera. But we need to know. I'm not getting off a message. I'm not going to preach another message on sanctification. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Biblical sanctification is a far cry from what a whole lot of preaching in that day that calls sanctification. Now, I ain't giving you a license to sin. Now, I ain't telling you to live like hell and dress like hell. I think you ought to be different. You come to church, you ought to look different. I believe when you come through those doors, bless God, you ought to look like you're saved, whether you are or not. You go down to Walmart when somebody can't tell the difference between you and some Jezebel on the street, something's awful wrong. This ain't my pulpit and I ain't taking this liberty. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you the God's truth. Pastors need to get back to telling their people what's right and what's wrong and to look right. I ain't talking about leading them by the nose. I ain't talking about living their life for them. I'm talking about preaching the blessed word of God and telling it like it is to people as they live. I'll let Ken take care. This is his people. And I can tell you need it. I'm just carrying away. Y'all look lovely. Most of you look pretty good. Most of you look pretty safe. Most of you look pretty decent. Most of you look like men that are men, boys that are boys, and women that are women, women that are girls. And really, you do. You look good. Often I'll be pretty good up there. Mark 16, it'll take you into the harvest. Something wrong. If we talk about being saved and loving God and don't have a burden for souls. I'm going to tell you something. Church ain't for sinners. Don't turn me off. Church is for saints. But the saints need to be bringing sinners into the church so God can turn them around and make them saints. They need to hear the Word of God. They need to know the Word of God. And they need to be saved by the grace of God. And they need to be fed. Peter says, is told by the Lord, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He said, feed them, feed them, feed them. But as Brother Ken has already said this morning, you got to catch them and bring them in here before God can clean them. Amen. We ought to have a burden for the lost. And you, I don't have to stay there. You do, I'm sure. Talk it. But man, the greatest thing you can tell a man is that has no hope and has no help. Greatest thing you can tell him is that I know one that can take care of you. I know one that will see you through. I know one that will help you. And then it'll take you to the house of God. Now I'm going to tell you something. I can mess up this whole message right here. And I could get you turned against me. And probably not, your preacher wouldn't invite me back, but you probably wouldn't come back to hear me if I really said what I want to say about people attending the house of God. My wife told me every summer, here's what she tells me, Brother Mike. She says, now, you've been doing it now for 35 years, preaching, pastoring. You've been preaching going on 40 years. And she says, people are people. And she said, they love you. Thank God. They come to listen to you. They could go anywhere they want to go. But they come to listen to you. I don't know why, but they come listen to you. And she said, you just remember this. In the summer months, independent Baptists are automatically programmed to go up and down. Down to the beach and up to the mountain. You know, I thought I had it whipped, Brother Mike. I really did. I had one come and said, preacher, I lost my conviction over, you know, telling about going and stuff because they was going to take me on a trip. I said, yeah, everybody needs to get away every once in a while. I understand that. Your pastor will be the first to tell, I'm done. But your pastor will be the first to tell you this. I don't think he begrudges anybody in this church of getting away for a little while every once in a while. I encourage it sometimes for my people. I really do. But there's something wrong. Something wrong when you are gone more than you're here. Now that's from a pastor's heart. I don't begrudge people of going. I don't begrudge them doing it. If they got it, go. Praise God, do it. And if I weren't pastoring, I'd probably be worse than they are. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. But the fact of the matter is, we need to have enough God in us, operating in us, to give us a hunger and a thirst and a desire for the house of God. I love my church. My daughter told me, Brother Ken, she said, Dad, if anything ever happened to you, she said, I don't know how I'm going to do it. She said, I just have to talk Todd in to do it. We're going to move to Boughton, Georgia. She said, this is the closest church that I've ever been in. That's like our church. And I got to thinking, you know why it's so much alike? Y'all have got something here. Don't take it for granted. Are you saved? It'll take you all the way. What a God. What a Jesus. What a Holy Ghost. Do you realize the Bible tells us that there are some churches that people are afraid to join? I'm glad you're not afraid. And you're here. Father, I want to thank you this morning for meeting with us. Thank you, dear God, for salvation. Nothing new has been said here today. These people already know everything I've said, I'm sure. But as Peter says, I just want to remind them fresh and anew of what you've done for us, and there's nothing we can do for it. It's all by your amazing grace. And I love you and praise you today because you first loved me. I'll never forget when you convicted me. I'll never forget where you brought me from. I never want to get over the wonder of that miracle day when you picked me up out of that miry clay, set my feet on solid rock, put a song in my heart, spring in my step, joy and peace in my soul. And I love you now because you first love me. If it be one in our midst today that's lost and undone without you, dear God, may they drink of the well of salvation. We're told in John chapter 4, I must needs go through Samaria. Lord, I know that you've shown up here today. I know that you've manifested yourself here. And if you've shown someone and revealed yourself to them and that they need to be saved, may they get in before it's too late. God, we give you the glory for it. For the child of God that may have doubt, or the child of God that may be in a deep valley, may be facing decisions, I pray that they'll remember, Lord, that salvation's going to take them all the way. You're not going to forget us. You're not going to forsake us. You've done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Seal these truths in your heart as the pastor comes now and he sees fit to do what he wants to with this invitation. We'll praise you in advance for what you're going to do in Jesus' bloodstained name. Amen. Brother Ken.